I'm not quite sure where this is going, because what I wanted to say is not what I'm going to end up saying to you. So, anyhow, with grateful thanks to the writings of Watchman Nee, we're going to hear from the Lord. Now, the richness of God's word is that it often reveals a deeper truth if you know where to look. And the Old Testament has many hidden truths that in the light of the New Testament bring a richer understanding of our life in Christ. And all through the Old Testament, there are clues to reveal God's plan for mankind and clues to recognize Jesus the Messiah, our Savior. So I'm building on Andrew's theme of types and shadows and the feasts through the year. And hopefully we will celebrate all of them. So, types and shadows. A type represents something in the Old Testament that foreshadows a later, greater fulfillment in the New Testament. Okay? Now there are lots of examples. We've got Adam. We've got Melchizedek, priest and king. Abraham with the offering of Isaac. We've got Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, who went to fetch Rebekah to be the wife of Isaac. Joseph, the writings of Moses. John 5:39, Jesus says, "Search the scriptures. They bear witness of me." Ruth, Boaz, kinsman redeemer. David, Jonah, Psalms, the prophets, Isaiah, Daniel, Joel, Zechariah. Might as well mention them all. And then we have the ark, the tabernacle, the patterns, the furniture, the manna in the desert, the bronze serpent. You should know all about these because I know you all read your Bibles, okay? So all through the Old Testament, we see a picture of a God who wants to be with his people. He wants a relationship. He wants fellowship. And so we have the feasts. So God gave Moses 7 ceremonial feasts. You can read all about them in Leviticus 23. And if you don't understand Leviticus, go and read Hebrews. So those feasts have their laws and their patterns, and they were to be observed at his appointed times. In other words, he set up appointments whereby he would meet with his people in joyous worship and thanksgiving. Now the 7 feasts are Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Feast of Weeks or Pentecost, and then you have trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles. 3 feasts before Pentecost, 3 feasts after Pentecost. Sound familiar? It's a picture of the golden lampstand from the tabernacle. Okay. Each feast is carefully appointed, all are prophetic, and every single feast points to its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. But the only way a sinful people can meet with a holy God was through sacrifice. And so we have all the sacrificial laws. Now, I'm not going to go through Passover because we've just done it. But I do want to say, if you missed Andrew's Resurrection Sunday sermon, go back and listen to it. And I want to remind you of what he said there. Jesus was crucified at Passover. His sinless body was in the tomb at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And he rose on the 3rd day, which was first fruits. Okay? So, we've just done Easter, which was Passover. Hallelujah. The tomb is empty. He is risen. But what does that mean? What does that mean? Okay. It testifies first and foremost to the immense power of God Himself. He is the creator of the universe. To believe in the resurrection is to believe in God. He reminds us of His absolute sovereignty over life and death. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 and 55. By the way, most of what I'm going to say comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Okay, it also validates who Jesus claimed to be. It's a clear signal that Jesus is the powerful Son of God. He is our Messiah. He has conquered death and He reigns. Okay, it proves His sinless character, His divine nature. Psalm 16, Peter quoted from that in his first sermon. Jesus' body never saw decay. It never saw corruption. It validates all the Old Testament prophecies. Paul reasoned with the Jews for three Sabbaths in the synagogue from the scriptures. What were the scriptures? The Old Testament. It also authenticates His own claims that He would rise on the third day. Look in Mark, chapters 8, 9, and 10. It gets repeated three times. None of His prophecies would be, none of His promises, sorry, would be trustworthy if He did not rise. How could He be believed and obeyed if He did not rise? There would be no apostolic foundation for the church. Matthew says, the sheep will be scattered and there would be no shepherd. There would be no reason for the memorial cup of remembrance at the Lord's table. There would be no reason to anticipate drinking that wine anew in the kingdom of God. There would be no model for sacrificial living. There would be no righting of earthly wrongs. The blood of the martyrs would not be vindicated. Jesus Himself would just be a dead martyr. There would be no ultimate reckoning of sin. By His resurrection, God shows all people that they will ultimately have to answer to Him for what they have done. So, no resurrection would mean no Savior, no salvation, no hope of eternal life, faith useless, gospel powerless, sins unforgiven, of all men most pitied. Now, Paul takes 58 verses in Corinthians chapter 15 to explain this whole resurrection thing. If you don't understand me, go and read that chapter. So, moving on. John says in his gospel, and he quotes Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus is the source of both. There is no resurrection apart from Christ, and He is not just the giver of life, He is life. We who believe will experience resurrection. If we have the life of Jesus Christ, we overcome death. It has no hold on us. So, why is resurrection so important? We've looked at what it means, but now why is it important? Come on, guys. Let's retrace our steps. Let's go back to the beginning. Adam. in the Garden of Eden sinned. We have been stained, we have been tainted by that sin. We all have Adamic natures. All of us are sinful as a result, so we are part of the old, we are old or part of the old creation. Passover was the way of escape for the sons of Israel out of Egypt. By the cross, God made a way of escape for us all from the old creation. God gathered up in the person of his Son all that was of Adam and crucified him so that all that was in Adam was done away. God is righteous. God is holy. God is just. He is jealous. He wanted to have us for himself, but he could not bring us as we were to where he purposed us to be. So he did away with us on the cross. And then, by resurrection, provided a new life. Our old man, our old Adamic nature, was crucified with him once and forever. He can never be uncrucified. You have to understand that. Nothing of the first Adam can get past the cross. It ends there. So, resurrection stands at the threshold of the new creation. Resurrection is God's new starting point. That's where it is. We have to get through the cross. Jesus said, when he was talking to the two that were going the wrong direction, away from Jerusalem to Emmaus, Jesus actually turned them around and brought them back. But he said to them, "What are you talking about?" And they told him, and he said, "Oh, you foolish men, could you not see the Christ had to suffer to enter into his glory? We have gone with him through that veil that Andrew was talking about into the Holy of Holies." Jesus, God made a way through Jesus for us. And it's all so exciting. Those of you that remember dear Cliff DeGiacini would know by now he would be jumping up and down. When he got excited, when he was testifying, he would bounce. "I have been crucified with Christ." Galatians 2:20. Come on, guys. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who liveth, but Christ liveth in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God." That faith is based on fact. Jesus Christ died. Fact. Jesus rose. Fact. I, in Christ, on the cross. Now, Christ in me, the hope of glory. We have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness. We have been translated into the kingdom of light. We walk in newness of life. We have been translated from Adam to Christ. It's so exciting. That past death gives us a future life. Now is the day of salvation. Now we work. We can endure persecution. We can endure danger for Christ's sake. We can give ourselves fully to the work of God because He lives. We have become co-heirs with Jesus. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are ambassadors of Christ. We represent heaven and His interests here on earth. We have a purpose. Self-check. How are you living your lives? Are we truly ambassadors? We are the body of Christ. Coming to the cross is a personal thing. But once we are resurrected with Jesus, we enter His body. We are part of His body. We need each other. We are the body of Christ. We are the church. So now I want to ask you, and this is a very short service because we're going to do the table now. I want to ask, have you met the risen Lord? Have you met the risen Lord? If you haven't, I'd like you to come after the service, because we're going to break bread. And I want us to remember that Jesus is coming back. And we take this bread and this wine in anticipation of that coming back. So, bless you guys. Thank you for your word, Lord Jesus.